This podcast replay is brought to you by Top Gun Indoor Range, the only indoor public archery range in Dade County. They also have a state-of-the-art gun range with the latest in indoor air quality with 18 lanes up to 25 yards, making them the largest indoor range in Dade County. TopGunIndoorRange.com.
Cash the Jeweler, my partner, is a Jets fan and swears we're in a rebuild. That's stupid. And you know, I've heard that from some Dolphin fans and maybe even some media members that are writing it. There's no rebuild here, dude. That's the dumbest thing that any Dolphin fan could think of. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer don't have time for a rebuild. They'll get their asses fired. Their job is to win games and get into the playoffs and start winning playoff games. The offseason is not an excuse. The offseason was a fiscal decision that you had to make, because if you're a smart enough fan, you're intelligent enough to say, well, okay, you understand there's a cap. You can't keep everybody. So they're going, as I've explained many times already, they think it's more important to keep the next wave of players, not this wave of players. They feel they can overcome this one. And so guess what they have to do now? That's their freaking job. Overcome Rob Hunt and overcome Christian Wilkins. You can't. Too bad, so sad. You got to be held to that standard. That's the part that there's a misunderstanding here. You know? And it's up to McDaniel to become a better coach. A much better coach. And as I've told you, this team will be better flat out if you just get a little luck and you stay healthy. But there's no rebuild going on. I'm not expecting less from the Dolphins. I need to see them start winning playoff games. So I need a couple things to start falling into place. Health is one, and the other one's McDaniel. They have enough talent. Everything else is fine. It's up to you to coach it up now. That's all. Show me coaching. That's what I need to see from Mike McDaniel. I have not seen that from McDaniel. I don't see him adjust in second halves at all. When they figured him out, they figured him out, and he doesn't have a counter. He must suck at chess, by the way. So I need to see improvement from within. You haven't done enough from within the last couple of years. You need to do more, but you need to stay healthy also. So if you're not healthy, I can't ask for too much. But if you're healthy, there's no rebuild. Okay? The last 2 years have been freakish with the injuries, and it has hurt the hell out of this team. I have to give that the break. I have no choice because those are facts. But if you're healthy, you're better than you were the last 2 years. So start winning playoff games. There's no rebuild here. And they should be held to the same standards that you were expecting. Get to the playoffs and win some playoff games. And if they're healthy, there'll be no more. There are no excuses. You're somewhat healthy. You're not going to be perfectly healthy because that's impossible. But if you're only missing a couple guys and not missing freaking 8-9 guys, your entire offensive line and or your entire secondary or whatever, you know, you got to start winning. So forget about there's nothing about rebuild here at all for the Miami Dolphins. That's the craziest thing out there. Anybody that says rebuild, that's an excuse. That's you trying to avoid your responsibility of making this franchise a winner in the postseason.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Eric says Tua needs way more talent around him if he wants to win a wild card playoff game. Tua needs the coach to coach better, and he needs his team to be healthy, and then he can win. You know what I mean? I know some of you don't want to use it as a crutch or an excuse or the reality, but I'm sorry, the last 2 years they've had the worst luck out there. They have been so injury riddled the last 2 years. By the time they get to the playoffs, they don't have enough to win a playoff game. You just haven't. And they don't have the coach that is like a phenomenal game day coach that can overcome shit and out-scheme the other guy and all that. He's not there yet. He doesn't even answer. Mike McDaniel can't even make adjustments in the second half yet on a consistent basis. Not once in a blue moon. No. Consistently. That's what great coaches do. They answer the bell in the second half every time. He never answers the bell. So no team is going to win like that. Which, by the way, leads me. Thank you. You have led me to one of my Dolphin subjects that I wanted to talk about. Because I see it all the time. I see media members talking about it, writing about it. I see fans, you know, talking about it on social media and sending it to me. And this goes for the University of Miami football team, and this goes for the Miami Dolphins. I want you all, and here's where we don't play sensationalism. I'm not trying to get in your craw. I'm not trying to create controversy where there isn't controversy. You all can talk about recruiting. You could talk about your little fucking transfer portals, okay? You could talk about all your free agency crap. You could talk about your street free agency crap. You could talk about the draft if you want. You could talk about undrafted players if you want. You could talk about trades. You could talk about NILs. You could talk about anything you want about players and all that shit. Until Mario freaking Cristobal and Mike freaking McDaniel actually become complete coaches on the sidelines, the Canes and the Dolphins aren't doing shit. Jack shit. I don't care if Cam Ward is a Heisman Trophy winner. Understand me, okay? I don't give a shit. I don't care if Reuben Bain gets 42 sacks this year. I don't care if Tyreek Hill has 2,000 yards. I don't care if Shaq Barrett finds the fountain of youth and gets 13 sacks. If Mike McDaniel and Mario Cristobal are the same fucking stiffs on the sidelines, they're not going anywhere. And yeah, I said stiffs. You know why? They're not complete. You're a stiff. I know Mario's a fantastic human being, a great person, great influence, great recruiter. I got all of that. On game day, you ain't shit, dude. You ain't shit. I know Mike McDaniel's got a beautiful personality. He connects with players. They like him. He's got a great offensive mind. On game day, you ain't shit. I'm tired of watching you idiots talk about your NILs and talking about Tua and talking about Cam Ward and talking about this lineman and this free agent and that. If these coaches can't coach, bro, this doesn't mean shit. Because I watch Eric Spoelstra coach dog shit to 500. I watch him coach champions or superstars to championships. I watch him coach a number two star and a bunch of role players all the way to the finals multiple times in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's coaching. Okay? That's coaching. At no point can I ever say that about Mario Cristobal in the first 2 years or Mike McDaniel. So keep talking about all the players you want. Okay? Keep talking about whatever draft pick and whatever trade and whatever stupid NIL and whatever transfer portal. I wipe my ass with all of that until I know I've got a stud on the sidelines that can outsmart the guy on the other side. It doesn't mean shit. You're fucking Del Harris with Kobe and with Shaq, and you don't have Phil Jackson. You get me? Do you understand? That's what you are right now. So until Mike McDaniel graduates from coaching school, until Mario Cristobal graduates from coaching school, the rest is hot air. And I'm laughing at every one of you because I know and you don't. And media members, I know, and you don't. Yeah, I'm the smarter guy in the room. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we're not talking about medicine, I'm dumb. Maybe we're talking about sales, I'm dumb. Maybe we're talking about architecture, I'm dumb. I'm not getting in that conversation. We're talking about football, here you go. I'm the smartest guy in the room. Okay? Because obviously there's a lot of dumb people out there. Players, they matter up until a point. If you don't have the guy that knows how to put them in positions to be successful, it don't mean shit, dude. I watched Shula with Woodstrock. I watched Shula with Bob Greasy. I watched Shula with Marino. Three completely different teams. That's coaching. I can't say that about Mario Cristobal at any point whatsoever. And I can't say it about Mike McDaniel either. So you go ahead and keep bragging about your players. And let's trade for that guy and sign that NIL guy. And I hope he transfers. And I hope we draft him. None of it means jack shit. None of it means jack shit, dude. It doesn't mean anything. Until Mike and Mario grow up and become like real complete coaches, the Canes and the Dolphins aren't going anywhere. I don't care how talented they are. You know why? Because when you have a dumbass on the sidelines, it happens in the Fiesta Bowl with Jimmy Johnson. Oh yeah, I think I'll let Vinny Testaverde continue to throw the ball. Way to go, dumbass. You know, sometimes, yeah, you're a riverboat gambler and, you know, talent can carry you. Sometimes you're going to have to coach yourself out of it. Some can't coach themselves out of it. Some of them just need a whole shitload of talent to win because they're not bright enough to say, yeah, no, Vinny Testaverde threw 4 interceptions last year in the Sugar Bowl against Tennessee. Yeah, I'm not going to allow that again here against Penn State. No, but I am. Oh. Riverboat gambler. You can have stupid coaching. And sometimes, you know, I guess they'll get lucky if they have enough talent. So, whatever you want to talk about with players, with the Dolphins, and, oh, we're going to have this linebacker, and we're going to, oh, Tua needs this. Or no, what Tua needs is a real coach on the sidelines. He's got a guy that can help him on the offensive side with points, but he still doesn't know how to manage the damn game. So he doesn't help anybody. You know? In the end, he hurts his team as much as he helps his team. I mean, you're in a playoff game and you don't even know the down. The fuck is that? It's the same thing. Jimmy Johnson sees Vinny Testaverde's dumbass continuing to throw interceptions, and he continues to let him go. Mike McDaniel's dumbass sees the running game dominating, and he abandons it. What? We're averaging 7 yards a carry against the Bills, and you're just going to stop? Talk about all the players you want, ladies and gentlemen, until McDaniel and until Cristobal graduate from actually being a real head coach and really scheming, out-scheming people and being able to make the right decisions on game day and at that moment and knowing when to take a knee and knowing when to stay with the run, okay? If they don't learn how to do those things, the talent doesn't matter. It just won't matter. So knock yourselves out. The most important factors in the Canes and the Dolphins season is Mario Cristobal and Mike McDaniel, and I don't know how many times I have to repeat it. Neither guy has proven that he is a complete head coach. Both have proven they are absolutely incomplete as coaches. They've got a ton of potential. We all know that. But we have to be honest. They are not even close to being complete head coaches. So it better happen soon. Mario's lucky. He's going to buy himself a couple more years because they can't just get rid of him that easy. But Mike won't have that same luck. So he better turn it around with a quickness because he's got a year, maybe two left. Maybe. Because if it's not good enough this year, it's hot seat time. I told you that. I told you what he did last year is he put himself into the, this is the season that he either crosses a threshold or puts his ass right into a hot seat. The fuse will be very short for him. I'm telling you. Okay. So talk all you want about recruiting and drafts and NILs and all that. None of it means shit if those two coaches don't figure it out.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Walton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Walton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Walton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Walton Rayom can help. 954-966-4646.
Jimmy Zurich says OBJ is washed up. Didn't he average like 16 yards a carry catch last week, last year? I think. Yeah, I wouldn't say washed up. That doesn't make any sense. What he isn't is a one or a two anymore. But he can be a very good number three for you, a complimentary piece. Because that's what he's going to be. The problem is, Jimmy, a lot of you are thinking that they're signing him to big money and he's going to be like a featured receiver or something like that. And those days are done for Odell Beckham. This is going to be a $3.5 to $5 million deal plus incentives. And he's going to be like the fourth option on the team. It'll be Tyreek, Waddle, and Janu. And then he's going to be there with everybody else. So I think you're kind of looking at it the wrong way. And that's what happens with this talk of adding him. Why do you think he is now sitting and mulling offers? Because the offers are no longer, hey, here's double-digit salary, and we want you to be a big part of our offense. And those days are done. If you look at it, he really hasn't been injured much lately. He's actually been a decent person the last couple of years with the Rams and with the Ravens. And if you put him in a complementary role, it's actually a productive thing. I think it's a smart thing. You know what I mean? So in that's the only way I want him, by the way, Jimmy. I don't want him for big money. I don't want him with a big responsibility because I don't think he's that guy anymore. But the other way, no, dude, I'm fine.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Perdomo Cigars. Check out the retail store in Miami Gardens at 5150 Northwest 167th Street. Plenty of cigar gear and a relaxing lounge. This is the Perdomo way.
Sorry, I'm working at the same time listening. I wait tables. Forgive me. We can use a big wide receiver, physical three guy. Yeah, but Jimmy, I totally agree with you. And thank you, bro, that you're actually working and you're a time corporate stealing weasel, which we love that. But here's the problem, dude. They gave him Gesicki. He doesn't use it. They gave him Claypool. He doesn't use it. He doesn't use the big receiver. And the Odell stuff, I brought it up because the guy just loves speed. And so I'm hearing in the building, and that's why I said, wow, Odell. And I'm not an Odell guy, but under those circumstances, I kind of get it. And the coach's love for, I feel the need for speed. Did he not sign one of the three fastest tight ends? Does he not have two of the fastest backs in the NFL? Does he not have the two fastest receivers in the NFL? So are we shocked that he wants to get the fastest third receiver that's available in the NFL right now? It's just, there's an MO. You know how I tell you with all the time, like people write or talk about stuff that's inaccurate with Chris Greer. Oh, he's going to do this and that. And I'm like, do you see his track record? Like, look what he does. Like, and I explain it to you all the time, right? Like, he tells you what he's going to do pretty much. Like, look at habitually what his decisions are. Same thing here. You know, just look at the situation. So, anyway, he just doesn't use the big receiver. You give it to him. Gesicki caught 70 balls with Brian Flores and his crappy staff, and Gesicki can't get the time of day the last two teams he's been on. It's the most screwed up thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, they can't get separation. Oh, come on, bro. Let's go. People can get separation. If you're good route runners, you can do it. Let's go. Let's not just be in love with one guy. You know what I'm saying? And then you know, waddle a little bit. Let's spread the ball around a little bit more. Let's do a better job. That's all. Anyway. So, thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate you out there, as always.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Cutter's Edge Total Landscape Solutions. With decades of experience here in South Florida, cuttersedge.com provides fantastic results. Call 954-472-0622.
I wanted to get something that was, I thought was kind of interesting. I wanted to look it up today. And, you know, Tyreek has a $31 million cap hit this year in 2024. And he has a base of 19.6. In 2025, they have an out clause, and he has a base of 21.8 and a cap hit of 34K, right? Now, he, 34 million, that is, by the way, I'm sorry. Now, they could, you know, there's an out, and because they didn't take extra money off of him, they could, like, this year would not be the smart year to take a dead cap hit. But next year, you could end up taking a cap hit, and this could be the last year for Tyreek. It is a possibility, because if you think about it, they didn't get any money off his contract this year when they needed cap space. They're saving themselves for a lot of cap space next year. Maybe they're also anticipating to release him and take the hit that you have to take then, instead of obviously now you can't take it, because, you know, some of you were kind of crazy after the latest issues and you're like, no, release him now, and you can't do that, or trade him, because, and I'll walk you through it, his dead cap money is $66 million last year. This year it's $53 million. But the potential out, since it was a three-year $73 million deal, it becomes $22 million dead cap hit next year. So I was telling you that Tyreek could be here two more years. Tyreek might be playing his final season with the Miami Dolphins this year, because they've got to re-sign Waddle, Phillips. They've got to re-sign Tua. They've got to re-sign Holland. Okay? So they've got several players coming up. And next year, they've got an allotment of picks. So they could be going with a
first round, second round wide receiver to then elevate Waddle to the number one spot, because his contract will then kick in the following year after that. The big money will kick in. Next year won't be big money. The following year will be big money. You take Tyreek off the books. So you take the cap hit instead of taking the chance and carrying him one more year and taking a cap hit and risking any kind of off the field issues. So for those of us that were kind of like myself, thinking that maybe it's two more years and they get out, the way I was looking at it this morning, Tyreek Hill could be playing his final season with the Miami Dolphins in 2024. And the Dolphins have to make tough decisions at times. And by the way, who's to say they don't release Tyreek? They re-sign Waddle, obviously, to a long-term contract. And they still go into free agency and find themselves another receiver for a one-year deal to kind of fill the gap while the young receiver, the first rounder, second rounder, develops. Because if he develops quickly, great. If he doesn't, you know. So a lot of you that were thinking about Tyreek, they could get out of it next year. It is the way it's structured, because the way they structured it, they can get themselves out of that cap hit next year. They'll take a hit, but it won't be catastrophic like it is this year. That is $53 million. It went 52, 66, and 53 the first 3 years. Now you're down to 22 and then 11. You know, so if they want to, and they can make it a June 1st thing, where then they separate the two, and then it's 10 and a half one season and 10 and a half the other, and you kind of go under. And remember, the cap will go up probably somewhere in the 10 range. So do not be surprised if Tyreek Hill does not man his P's and Q's, as they say, and, you know, does things the right way all year long. And if he has any more slip-ups, any more issues off the field, this could be Tyreek's last year. It is a possibility. And they will have the flexibility next year, because not only did they create flexibility for next year to re-sign their guys, but I think they created flexibility to maybe part ways with others. And I think Tyreek Hill, not that I know anything, but maybe he's kind of like on a double secret probation type of thing. They had their conversation with him. They had a conversation with the agent. The agent knows the cap situation, knows the contract situation. I'm looking at it right now. Guess what? It's one that you can get out of next year, especially on a June cut. So, microscope on this Tyreek situation over the next year. It's not simply about your production on the field. It's going to be your attitude and your behavior off the field, because there's an out. And they might feel that they're better off going in that direction. So, keep an eye on drop passes this year. Keep an eye on drop touchdowns. And then keep an eye on off-the-field issues. Because if they continue, I can tell you they're getting out of it for sure after the 2024 season. Because they have the window now. And this offseason sent the message when they needed cap space. They did not go to Tyreek's contract. So, look out. Look out. This could be the last year for Tyreek Hill. Depends. Just something to look at, something to, you know. Anyway.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Sloman's Home Security. The first 40 Big O listeners right now, dial 1-800-ALARM-ME. We'll get this limited time offer, a free doorbell camera that connects directly to your smartphone with installation of your Sloman's Shield. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
How about Xavier Howard saying it's not about the money anymore? He just wants to go somewhere that makes it past the first round into the Super Bowl.
It wasn't like a backhanded shot. If you listen to the interview, he just wants to win. They all say the same shit. The guy wants a job. No big deal. He hasn't had a lot of success with the Dolphins. I mean, neither did Jason Taylor. It's just kind of the way it goes, dude. That's our history. It's not a shot. It's the reality. Dolphins don't have a lot of success in the playoffs. Either you make it or you barely even win a game. That's kind of been our MO for 40 years, dude. You know, let's not get too touchy about the truth. You know, and the truth is, any player that leaves here has not had a lot of success. And when they want to go somewhere else where they would like to go deep into the playoffs and win a Super Bowl, it's not a shot. It's the reality. And that's what Mike McDaniel has to fix. And that's what Cam Cameron and Joe Philbin and Tony Sperano, rest in peace, and every other coach tried to fix. And they couldn't fix. Because that's been who our team is forever. It's not a shot. It's the reality. You know, so let's just deal with it. It is what it is. Finn should not go down this road with OBJ. There's enough distractions in South Beach. He hasn't really done nothing the last couple of years. He's been fine. The Rams with Baltimore, he's been fine. I'm not an OBJ fan, but we have to be objective, and some of us are still living in the past. You know, and the guy actually has been a fine citizen in the last couple of places he's been. He hasn't caused any issues whatsoever. And that's the truth. And he's not going to be the focal point of the offense here again, which is, I think, something that a lot of people keep missing. He's not being offered a big contract. He's offered a smaller contract with incentives. He's a complimentary player. He has to understand that. And that's it. That's all. So it's really under those kind of terms. I don't have a problem with it.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Perdomo Cigars. Check out the retail store in Miami Gardens at 5150 Northwest 167th Street. Plenty of cigar gear and a relaxing lounge. This is the Perdomo way.
Safe to say we will all breathe a sigh of relief once this Tyreek Hill, Jimmy Butler contracts finish out. Yay and nay, because we don't know what's on the other side. You know what I'm saying? And plenty of fans will tolerate some of the crap. If Butler makes another crazy-ass run to the finals or the Eastern Conference Finals, you're going to say, well, dude, the regular season sucks, but he did it again. Like, how can we complain? He's winning at the most important time. And he put himself in this hole, right, of being the 7 or 8 seed or whatever, and he dug himself out of it. Is it the right thing to do? No. But if he keeps digging himself out of the hole, it's like, you know, no, don't throw that pass. Whoa, yeah! You know, it's like, you know, the guy threw across his body in triple coverage, and Justin Jefferson came down with it. Okay? Because you threw it to Justin freaking Jefferson. Okay? You threw it to D-Hop in his prime. You know, you threw it to this dominant force that's being covered by three guys. I remember Tony Gonzalez coming here 1 year. I don't know. You remember that? And Tony Gonzalez caught everything against the Dolphins. And we had 2 or 3 guys on him and some guy named Cameron something. And you know, it was like a disaster of an outing that year against Kansas City. And Tony Gonzalez single-handedly sliced us apart, you know. And it's just like one of those deals. Like, you threw a bad pass, but because it was to a great player that was just an unstoppable force – that's where you're, oh, yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what it is.
That's the feeling. That's the feeling. Oh, man. So I don't know. I don't know what holds, you know? If Jimmy Butler leaves, then what's left? Riley's had a really tough time bringing stars. By the way, Wade brought this star also. If it's not for Wade and Butler playing together, oh, you know, dude, there's a place for you. Yeah, and it's called Miami. Really? Oh, yeah, dude, you'll like it there. And so he recruited Shaq, and he recruited Bosch, and he recruited Butler. Hasn't been Riley. So when the Butler era ends, okay, the frustrating regular seasons will end. But will you have great regular seasons and not so good postseasons now? So then wouldn't we want to switch? Most of us aren't really paying for those seats in the regular season. Yes, sir.
I was saying, is it really going to be any less frustrating of a regular season if right. Butler leaves? Because
right.
It really might going to not care about the regular season right. for the Miami Heat.
Right. With Tyreek, it's a different kind of frustration. It's the knuckleheaded shit. There is some frustration when he plays because he does have a tendency of dropping some big passes. I don't know why, but it's just weird. But really, it's more the off-season stuff. So it's more of a frustration that Tyreek Hill cannot behave like a normal person. Whereas with Jimmy, you hate that he doesn't take the regular season serious. But, you know, be careful what you ask for. Because I remember when, Shula, the game's passed him by. And then people kick Shula out. And then guess what? Nobody that's replaced Shula has been better than Shula, even on his worst days. We got so bad with Shula. This is what we used to say. Oh, Shula can only make the playoffs now. Oh, yeah, no, first round. Maybe he wins a first round game. Oh, the game's passed him by. And then everybody pushes Shula out the door only to just add coaches that can't even make the playoffs, much less win a game. So be careful what you ask for. Because before you say, oh, well, you know, it's over the hill for this person or that person, be sure about what's coming next. Because I've seen it when people think it's, oh, yeah, no, Jimmy Johnson's, yeah, it's better for us to get rid of the old man and let's bring in Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy, all he did was get thoroughly embarrassed in the playoffs constantly with the Miami Dolphins. Constantly. It didn't end up better. And it didn't get better with everybody else that followed. So be careful. Be careful what you ask for. Yeah, Tyreek's a little frustrating, but man, that's a hell of a player. Okay? And Jimmy Butler, yeah, regular seasons are frustrating, but the postseasons have been magical. So I don't know what you want to trade off for. Are you guaranteed that you're going to get the stars again? Because Riley hasn't been able to get a star. Again, Wade brought Butler. Wade brought Bosch and LeBron. So the last 15 years, Riley has not been bringing in any whales. Oh, yeah, Whiteside. Yeah. So think about that. Okay? So yeah, it's frustrating, but man, let's not be so quick to end it. Okay?